And it says in verse 13 of the fourth chapter of Daniel, I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it in the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. He answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon the Lord King. Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity that you have given us with this congregation. And God, I pray for every member and visitor present in this place, that, Lord, that you will bring forth your word that you have blessed us to have for this hour. God, and I pray, Lord, against every adversary, every enemy of the mind, and in the name of Jesus, we declare, and let it be received in clear understanding, and let us put it in our hearts and use it in our lives. For God, in my spirit, I feel the urgency of this time that we receive your word and that we go forth and do what you have given us to do. And God, in my spirit, I feel the wickedness of the enemy and how it comes to destroy your children and those that do not know you. But God, I know that you have given a word for this hour, that as we would receive it, that we would go forth and make a difference out in the world that we live in, that our family would see something of you in us, that our friends would see something of you in us. And God, I know that oftentimes we lose the purpose in the motions, but Lord, this place is appointed for you to dwell and be mighty in. And God, right now, as your people praise you, let this hour be where you can dwell and be mighty. And we proclaim it in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, the name which heals disease, the name that brings deliverance, the name that will bring down every stronghold of the devil. And the church said, amen. I don't know about you, but I feel something moving in this church. I feel something good stirring up within me. I feel the presence of the Most High God. Now, friend, I encourage you. It's just like you see a pool on a warm summer day. You can look at the pool and think about how refreshing it could be, or you can get on in the water and enjoy it with everybody else that has got in. And as for me and my house, I'm going to be found giving him honor and glory and praise in the name of Jesus right now. Lord, we have came too far to lose these battles. Lord, we have came too far to let go now. And God, we're here assembled together for a reason and a purpose. Lord, we're tired of the motions. We want you to lead us. We want you to guide us. Let your spirit be made manifest in this place. Let your anointing be mighty upon the lips of the children in this place. God, we thank you and praise you, for we know that strength is going out to the bodies of your church. Oh, deliverance is going out to the minds that are weary, and peace is going forth. And God, we praise you for it. Lord, we thank you. Somebody out loud, just say thank you. Somebody say thank you. That's all we've got to say sometimes, just to let the Lord know, God, thank you for what I have. Lord, thank you for what you've given me. God, thank you for preparing me for another day. God, thank you for not letting me go. Thank you for being my friend. Glory to God. You may be seated in here if you wish. I joke with my cousin a lot, and I told him the other day, I said, you want to know, and people think they get wore out trying to sit down and listen to a preacher. I challenge anybody to stay on their feet with me the whole time I'm up, and you come back to me and tell me if it's not just as tiring to be up as it is to be down. It's not something that's easy, and in fact, by the time I'm done, I feel like I've got my cardio in for the day. No need to go hit the treadmill. I already feel pretty good. Let's go eat a good meal. So there's some effort in this thing, in case you were wondering. I have a small thought, thank God for you, to share with you. And it's something that provoked my spirit, and I felt like that it would be good to share with this congregation. We begin to read in this scripture about King Nebuchadnezzar and how that he had received a dream that none of his appointed council could interpret. In fact, there's often times when dream that is very complex and hard to understand, that, you know, sometimes it's easy on the surface just to look at it and you immediately understand what it is that you're looking at. Sometimes hindsight can be 20/20. But when it has to be something that comes from God, you've got to be able to discern it with the spiritual gifts of God. And I'm here to tell you that there was only one man that was appointed for the hour of this word and this dream. And the Lord brought something out different in this to me. He's taking me back to places I've already traveled in the word. And he said, brother, now that you've came this far, let me open up a little bit more on this so that you get it even greater. And I'm here to tell you, you might think that the miracle is in the interpretation and the word that came from the interpretation, but friend, we've got to read in deeper to the word of God, for if we did that, we would be of greater understanding than we are in the world today. We wouldn't walk around as confused. We wouldn't be complaining as much as we do, and in fact, we'd come in serving God with a boldness and a confidence and not letting the enemy beat us up all week long to take away the one night that we get to come and worship. I don't know about you, but I'm not letting him take my goods. They're mine, and I'm putting a hedge about them, and I'm saying, devil, this is my house. This is my family. This is my church. This is my hour. This is my time, and I'm going to claim what is rightfully mine. I'm going to go after what God has blessed me with. Don't find me sitting in the back of the pew. Don't look for me to be not confident in who I am. Don't find me walking around with my head down, but you're going to find me believing, because he has appointed this generation to do the work through the Holy Ghost. Why would he have given it if we weren't going to use it? So we read by the example of obedience to bring understanding at this time. And it's a powerful interpretation. There was a king that had been in a good place, as we all have been in our life. We get comfortable. We put down our shield. We get down and sit for the feast of celebration. And here's where a mistake is. We don't expect another attempt of the enemy to come back again. Every single time you read about the ups and downs in the leadership of the kingdoms that you read, there was a season where the kings were in good standing with God. Then there was a season where they gave in to the lust of their flesh and what people were leading them in to do, and they fell. But there was a time, but even when they had reached a wicked estate, that God didn't leave that kingdom without an answer. And he didn't leave King Nebuchadnezzar without an answer. So let's dive in a little bit to this interpretation. He begins to talk about in this about how that the tree stretched forth even up into heaven, that its leaves and branches were wonderful. And there are seasons in our life, just like when you see it blooming in summer and spring, everything begins to look beautiful. Everything looks magnificent. You can't hardly drive down the road for all the people that are coming to dwell in our lakeside community to get on the waters and take advantage of the beauty that God has blessed us with here in this area. So there are a lot of people that want to be here, but there's a lot of people that live in the mountains. They get tired of the mountains. They want to go to the beach. The people that live at the beach, they want to go into the wilderness. That's always been funny to me. But the Lord wants us to learn and appreciate those cycles of life. Here lately, God brought it out in three different sermons, two here and another up the road, but he's been bringing out in my spirit some faith-building sermons. And we've been talking about trusting God in the silence, believing that he's there and it's not an absence of him. And we begin to bring out in another way, in a different way, to walk in a different spirit, just like Caleb did. To be different, to be separate, to be somebody that God can use. But now the Lord wants to bring a word for this congregation, because some of you I know are not in a place where all the branches are in the right spot. All the leaves aren't dwelling where you want them to be. All the fruit that you're expecting isn't quite there yet. Everything that you're wanting from God, you're getting discouraged from the things that you're not seeing yet. You're looking for results and there's nothing showing up. And within you, the questions begin to roll one by one by one. Lord, when shall it come? God, is it me? Lord, where am I missing it? God, when will I begin to see a difference in my life? We begin to pray over our situation. And when we get weak, the devil comes by to tell us not to pray, to tell us to give up, to tell us to let go, to make us feel like we have no hope. And friend, if you're not too careful, in the day that we walk in, it's just a couple temptations away for where you'll find yourself not even wanting to be in the house of God, let alone even enjoying what God has blessed you with. He said, hew it down, cut it down. God had to teach me. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. God had to teach me to really believe in him when all my life had been cut down. Everything that I had, everything that I desired, every possession that I had, I lost everything. I lost all my friends. I lost trust in my family. I lost the ability to believe in myself. I lost my purpose for living. I was just about to a place where I was ready to give up my life. But God came and found me in such an hour that it wasn't too late. I'm here to tell you, friend, that we not only serve the God of all the things we have, and he's not only the God of what you've lost, but he's also the God of what you've got left. Friends, I'm here to preach to you tonight. You might feel like that everything that you've owned, everything that you fought for, has been destroyed in front of your eyes. But he didn't let the tree be plucked up all the way down under the roots of where it stood. But he said, let dew fall down from heaven. Let life come back to this once again. He didn't want to lose where it was. He said, put bands of iron around this tree so that once it comes forth, we'll know where it is. Glory to God. I'm not cut down, but I'm building back up from the dew out of heaven. And I'm telling you, we don't serve a God of just possessions, and we don't serve a God just that takes back what we've lost, but he's here to bless you in exactly what you've got left. Broke down, beat down, busted up, messed up, hurt, broken, depressed, afflicted, sick, tired, angry, frustrated. You might be cut down to the bottom, but friend, those that will be abased one day shall be exalted, and you'll learn from the blessings that God gives you. I'm here to speak a word over somebody right now. You might feel like that you've already lost it, that thing you thought it's already done, but there's still something.
there's still something deep down in the roots. We might feel like that we've lost everything. Man, I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. You might feel like that you've lost it all, but greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There is something that you're rooted in, whether you realize it or not. It's deep down in the waters that flow out, living and breathing the Spirit of God, and it's your life source, and it causes that stump that got cut down by this world, by this pain, by this hurt, by this person, by this situation, and causes life to come forth once again. It began with the test of Job. You begin to read the cutting down of his life. The devil said, I can't touch him. God, you have a hedge about Job. But God always leaves something left. He said, go ahead, go after his possessions, but you can't have his body. So the persecution begins in his life. Loses his family, loses his possessions, loses his livestock, begins to see everything that has been built up for him all the years of his life begin to go away, yet within him he was still able to believe. So the devil saw that he was going to have to press a little more. I'm talking to somebody in the spirit right now. The devil said, you've got a hedge about him, but I'm telling you, if you let me go after the body, surely he's going to curse you. And he said, you can go after the body, but you can't. You can't go after the breath. You can't take the breath. God always leaves something behind. You might feel like that you don't have too much. You might feel like that people have abandoned you. You might feel like that you have been beat up so much that there's no fight left in you. But whoa, glory to God, there's still something down in there. His wife said, forget it. His friends tried. They walked away and said, forget it. And he came to the realization with all that he had left. He said, though he slay me, I will still serve him. And this is going to be provocative for some of you, but I'm going to deliver it like the Lord has given it. He, you know what he was saying? He said, if heaven comes against me, God, I'm still going to serve you. Even if hell comes against me, I still will serve you. There is a mystery in the fact that it rains upon the just and the unjust. For there is no answer to ask, why do I have to suffer like this when I've done everything, God, that the Word has told me to do? But I'm here to tell you, you might get cut down a little bit, but there's still going to be something left inside of you that the devil cannot touch. The Lord will let them know that you can go this far, but you can't take what I put inside of them. Friend, if you ever believed in Jesus Christ, there is something in you that though the devil takes everything else that you have in your life, but there's something that's in you that he cannot take. Jesus walked this world trying to tell them what was really important. He tried to get them to get past the material. He said, don't carry script. Don't carry purse. He said, take no thought for what you'll wear or for what you'll eat. That didn't say don't have common sense. He was saying you've got to look at what really feeds you, what really leads you, and what really takes care of you. It's not in the food. Clearly, I've not figured that out yet, as you can see. It's not in the food. It's not in the raiment. Go work as hard as you want and buy the perfect outfit. It will still not change your soul. Surround yourself with what appears to be the most popular things. It still will not suffice to the peace of God. Don't run out to this world and expect comfort. That is the devil's deception. For in that time that you will finally say, I give up, then he can finally come after the last thing that you have left. People that are on the brink, or what I call on the brink, are people that even question their salvation. Salvation is irrevocable. It's not something that you just lose. It's not something that you just drop along the way. It is not an object that you just throw away to the side, but it's something that when God did it in you, he did it perfectly in you, that as long as you live, you have it to draw from. So bring it all together for me, brother. I'm excited and happy to report that I'm about to. You might think that you've got to go through all of these steps to be happy. And you might be waiting on some moment to happen to cause you to change your mind. You might be looking for a sign or a circumstance change to begin to cause your faith to be lifted. You might just be hanging on by a thread, but I want to remind each and every one of you, those who know God and those who need to know God greater, that it's very simple how that we stay strong in God. We have to go back to the one thing that the devil cannot take. We must return unto our first love. The motions of church, and I'm here to confess, even for me too, have worn me out from time to time. Just showing up and feeling a little bit. Just showing up and studying 6 to 8 hours a week to get an hour of time where you feel like it's ineffective. You know, going through those things, it wears us out. We don't feel like that what we're doing is effective. But when I've lost all confidence in what I see in this world, and I've lost everything else that the devil tells me that I've lost, there's one thing, friend, that I can go down in the depths of my soul to, and I can be reminded, church, if you realized it tomorrow, you'd be a stronger person. If you realize it the next day, you'd be a stronger person. And if you realized it the next day, by the time you got to church, we wouldn't need a praise band to get you excited about your salvation. You wouldn't need me to preach you back to a place where you just simply believe, but you'd already come in. John said, this is the confidence. When you tap into what you have inside you, which is the Spirit of God, then you begin to use faith. Faith becomes what you are expecting to happen in the midst of what you're already seeing is not. You begin to be provoked into hope. And as you begin to have faith, faith provokes you to do something. You'll never find anybody obedient that is not also faithful. For faith without works is dead. And you can interchange that works without faith is also without profit. I'm not wasting my time anymore. That's what I'm getting to. I might get down as low as a stump, Landon. But as long as I've still got a life source, something that I can tap to in here, I'm still going to stand. I believe we are that generation. I'm ready. Are you? Are you waiting on God? Are you in eager anticipation of looking for something? We get caught up in looking at so much suffering that we're not looking for His coming. We're discouraged. And here's a real word for you. I'm not blind to the fact that we're all walking a little discouraged. It would be an unreality if I pretended like all of us don't have some kind of hardship right now. The more and more that walk out on God, the greater the load becomes for those who believe. But I'm here to tell you, as a human being, as somebody who bleeds the same way you do, that you can do all things through Christ. And I am here to share your pain. I am here to believe in you. I believe you can do it. I believe that God will do it. I believe He already has for us more often than we're willing to testify, praise, or even admit. Sat on so many blessings for so long, Odiva, and I'm so ready to just enjoy my life. I'm day by day getting better and not being so easily frustrated when the devil shakes up my situation. So what? So what? I'm here to tell you that you might go through a lot of emotional ups and downs, but at the end of the day, God's hand is not moved. His hand is not drawn back. He said it's not slack concerning you. But I don't know about you, if you've ever rode any of the roller coasters at Dollywood or Six Flags or Disney World. You get at the beginning of it, you're like, oh yeah, I can do this. But you start going up through the build up at the beginning, you begin to think, oh man, what's to come? And by the time you go through the whoosh and the up and the around, and you begin, oh man, I'm going to throw up on somebody. By the time that it happens, it's so quick and you're pulling back in. And you think to yourself, it's finally over. It's over. But we often don't even realize that when we're asking for blessings, when we're asking for change, you're asking to go through things. When you are asking for things to be moved, you're going to go through some thickets and thorns. Basically, when you're asking for God to move, you're willingly getting on that roller coaster and saying, here we go, but when I get off this thing, I'm going to be stronger than when I got on this thing. There's been some times I didn't think I could go on another one, but I thought, man, this is so fun, I'm just going to go ahead and do it again. And you might think that that's a crazy thought, but I'm here to tell you, the Bible says to rejoice concerning your fiery tribulation. He said to rejoice concerning your fiery trial. We only praise God for the good stuff. I can't wait to have a service one day. I don't know when it's ever going to come where we just rejoice
in our fiery tribulation. Now, you'll see some devils ran off if you rejoice in that hour. If we're going to be the generation that pulls them out of the fire, as it says in Revelation, we're going to have to be those kind of people that rejoice concerning our fiery tribulation. The Bible talks about this refining process, the cutting down and the building back up. He said that you would be tried by fire, that you would come out as what? Pure gold. God is coming for a pure bride. There's a song that Leland sings called Pure Bride. I love it. He's coming for a pure bride. He's coming for a church that is looking, that is tested, and that is confident. Do you believe that tonight? Do you receive this word the Lord has given you tonight? Are you confident? Are you going to go out here different than what you came in? I don't know. I don't know if I believe you. Are you going to go out of here different than what you came in? We're almost there. Are you going to go out of here different than what you came in? We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are made new creatures by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And we are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I'm going out of here different. I've got that Caleb spirit in me right now. I'm saying we're well able to do this. We're well able to do this. I'm well able to overcome these giants. There's no land I cannot take because through Christ it's mine. There's no blessing that I can't reach because through Christ it's mine. I've not felt like this in so long. I can do everything through the Jesus that lives in me. I can walk in the suffering. I can live in pain because He is with me. He's not only the God of what you've got, not only the God of what you've lost, but remember, friend, He is the God of what you have left.